بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A few days ago, someone had sent an email. His wife is an Arab, and she insists that she has to attend the Eid namaz. Since there is mention of woman attending Eid namaz, so she must be given the permission to attend the Eid namaz. So in this situation, what must he do? So by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I wrote back. To study hadith without understanding context is really dangerous. Studying of hadith is a great thing, very, very great thing. There can't be anything greater than that. But the condition is that you need to understand hadith in context. And the context will be understood when you see the Sahaba Kiram, how did they apply the hadith in their lives. Now, you got all the puzzle together. Now, if you work out the hadith, you will come and arrive to a right conclusion. But without the context, without seeing how it was applied at the time that the wahi was revealed, so you will definitely be misled. Many a times we don't understand context. And as a result of not understanding context, we make mistakes. For example, the famous hadith goes as follows: La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. The namaz is only valid with Surah Fatiha. So if someone takes a hadith in isolation, then he will feel that he needs to read Surah Fatiha in every situation, because the namaz is not valid without Surah Fatiha. So if he is alone, he will recite Surah Fatiha. If he is behind an imam, then too will he recite Surah Fatiha. If the imam is gone into ruku and he is just joined in with the imam at that point, then too will read Surah Fatiha. So no matter what condition he is in, he will recite Surah Fatiha. Whether he is the imam, whether he is performing namaz individually, whether he is reading namaz behind the imam, whether he is just joined in when the imam is going into the ruku, then he will have this hadith before him that namaz is not valid without Surah Fatiha. So he is going to recite Surah Fatiha. Now, we all know that he has made a mistake. All will agree that at the time the imam is going in ruku, if you come and join in, then you need to join up with the imam. But now the problem is that he had just studied hadith. He hadn't seen the statements of the Sahaba. He hadn't seen the statements of the great self, the pious elders, learned elders of the past. He hadn't seen those statements. When he hasn't seen the statements of the elders, then he's going to come to wrong conclusions. Simply put, very, very simply put, to the level of our understanding, when the hadith says, La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab, that the namaz is not valid without Surah Fatiha, then it is like the statement that you say, La jumu'a illa bil khutbah, that the jumu'ah is not valid without the khutbah. The jumu'ah, salah is not valid without khutbah. So if you want the Jummah salah to be valid, then the khutbah has to be recited. And without reciting the khutbah, the Jummah salat won't be valid. Now, when we explain this in this manner, with this example, now this thing becomes quite clear. When we say La Jumu'ah illa bil khutbah, what does it mean? In other words, on the whole, overall, if the khutbah is not recited, then the Jummah will not be valid. Nobody feels that the imam has to recite the khutbah, then the audience has to recite the khutbah, the muazzin has to recite the khutbah, and the whole crowd has to recite the khutbah for the validity of the Jummah salat. Everybody understands the hadith in this way, that the khutbah is a prerequisite for the Jummah to be valid. But when they say it's a prerequisite for the Jummah to be valid, then what do they mean? They mean that on the whole, the khutbah has to be recited. If the khutbah wasn't recited on the whole, then the Jummah salat would not be valid. Now, this explanation, it goes in anybody's mind. He's got no qualms, he's got no reservation, mind is easy. But why did he encounter such a problem? He encountered such a problem because he went and studied hadith in isolation. Independently he went and studied hadith. Because of him studying the hadith independently, now he brought himself in more confusion, and he became even more confused, more complicated. But had he seen the statements of the fuqaha, he seen how the sahaba kiram had applied this, looked at the various statements, what was the context, are there other hadith also on the same chapter, how many hadith come here, which one was said at which state and which condition, which was said earlier, which was said later. So he studied the whole thing from the beginning till the end, then he will come and he will arrive to a different conclusion. See? So how important it is to study things in context. So all this confusion that we have nowadays in this day and age is on account of the fact that we don't take things in context. Take it in context, you've got no problem. And if you don't know the context, then follow someone who's an expert. Expert, not only an expert, but he's such an expert that his expertise has been proven over the centuries, not over the ages only, but over the centuries. 13, 14 centuries, people have recognized and acknowledged him. They've seen his expertise and they saw it was working out. So now, such an expert, or you leave this expert, and then you study the hadith in isolation, and then you come to your own conclusions, obviously, you're going to come to wrong conclusions. Now, what a big error, what a big mistake you would make if you study these things in isolation. Study it yourself. Obviously, you don't have the necessary equipment with you. Now, this same law can apply to every other field, right? For example, the doctors say that when a person has got a cardiac attack, then he needs to go for heart open surgery, right? Now, you look at this statement in isolation, that this person needs to go for a heart surgery, right? You look at it in isolation. And then, when you look at it in isolation, so you saw once or twice how they do qurbani, you know, qurbani, how they do qurbani, and at each time how they slaughter the animal, and then how they cut the rib cage, and how they pull out all the entrails, the heart, etc. So what's a big deal about the whole thing? I can do it myself, I've seen how they do it. So I can pull out the heart, and those arteries that need to be changed from the leg, and the feet to the heart, etc. I can do it myself, it's not a big thing now. Why do they claim as though they have got the monopoly over the surgery? Why do they claim that? Now, if someone took this in isolation and he went to do heart surgery, then he'll get charged for murder. When he gets charged for murder, all of us know that he'll get charged for murder. He's not an expert. He took one statement in isolation. He didn't take the statement in the entire context. Surgeons will say that he needs to have an open heart surgery. But they will also say that for that open heart surgery, he needs to come to a hospital, he needs to go to... he needs experts to be around. Someone must be an anesthetic, someone must be a surgeon, someone must be whatever else, and all combined, and in that theater, they will have to conduct that operation in a certain way. So he's taken that one statement in isolation. Because of taking this one statement in isolation, he's brought such a big problem for himself. See? So similar is this case here, when this woman is saying, or this man is saying, that my wife is an Arab, and she studies hadith, so she insists that she needs to go for the Eid. So she's taken the one hadith in isolation. She hasn't seen the whole hadith. What the context is, how was it applied in the respective ages, what did they do and how did they apply it, and running down the ages, why did they stop this practice. So you must know all the facts are before you. Now you have got a command over that situation. Now when you come to some conclusion, you will come to a right conclusion. Now for our understanding and purposes, simple explanation is that in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah had a control over the entire situation. The circumstance, he had total control. When he had a total control over the circumstance, then it was one command that woman must dress very simply. They must dress very, very simply, no attraction whatsoever. They mustn't wear any perfume, any attractive clothing, nothing that will appeal to anybody. Right? No attraction whatsoever. Right? And they must come in that unattractive manner to that Eid namaz. Now I ask you, do you have a control over the situation? Maybe you can control your wife, maybe you can control your daughter, but can you control the rest of the women? You can't control them. So when you can't control them, then you pulled out the hadith out of context. Where he had the total control over the situation, so he had asked them to come for the namaz. Because he knew if there was a smallest error, he would have corrected it straight away, and the Sahaba Kiram would have followed straight away. But now, do you have the control of anybody besides your wife and your daughter? You don't have any control. In fact, most people don't even have the control over their own wives today. See? You look at in the Western world, then the wives will claim to be of equal standing as yourself. She's equal to you. You can do a thing, I can do it. If you wish to do a thing, you do it. I wish to do a thing, I can do it. So you have no authority over me. So the Western world is running in that way. When it's running in that way, and then you pull out this hadith out of context and say that this is what happened in the time of the Sahaba Kiram, obviously it's misleading. It's misleading. Therefore, in the very, very early history of Islam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anha had put a stop to this practice that women shouldn't come. They saw what has happened, and they saw that now it will become unmanageable. In the early days of Islam, Nabi Sam was around, and when Nabi Sam was around, then to bring about a control over a situation was very, very easy, very simple. Just said it, and it was done. He just announced wine, and it was done straight away. Now today, I ask you, go into any place, a Muslim country or non-Muslim country, and go and announce that drugs is prohibited, it's haram, right? Will you get total conformity? You don't want to get it. That was Nabi Sam's time. He could do it. He had that authority, he had that power, he had that might. And the people had the confidence in him. When they had the confidence in him, one statement was sufficient for a man to come into Medina Munawara with a consignment of a billion dollar consignment of wine. And here he hears the announcement from Nabi Sam, wine has been declared as forbidden. He remains with his consignment out of Medina Munawara, and he tears and breaks all those containers. All those containers are broken, and the wine is allowed to spill. He had that iman. He had that type of confidence. And Nabi Sam had that type of authority. So that authority was there, and that conformity was there. So it worked. But you don't have the authority, you don't have that type of conformity, how is it going to work? How is it going to work? I ask you, how is it going to work? It's not going to work. So that is why it is absolutely essential that we need to understand Hadith, Quran, etc. But we need to learn learn it with the context. You learn it in the context, you don't have any confusion. Like you see, in the past 12 centuries, 13 centuries, there wasn't a confusion. Because people understood, but we don't understand context. When we don't understand context in medicine, we go to a surgeon, we go to a specialist, he will recommend something, and we will go accordingly. Right? So, similar in deen, we don't understand the context. When we don't understand the context, and we don't have the ability to grasp the concept completely. So, one is, we don't know it. Number two, we don't have that ability. Or we have that ability, we don't have the time to go and study all the thousands of hadiths, then the law pertaining to hadiths, then the conflict that appears apparently in the hadith, then to work out which came first, which came after, then to work out which is more authentic, which is less authentic, then to see if there is any flaw in the chain, in the narrators, to see all these things here, we don't have the time. We don't have the time, because then I have to study Arabic then. And after studying Arabic, then I have to go and study each narrator, each transmitter, and I have to go and study him. Okay. Was there any flaw in his narration? Did he miss out anything? Was his character absolutely sound? So I will study each one of them. Now that's a whole lifetime business, and I don't have the time. So you can't be playing a role of a person in between, not here, not there. You either be an expert, you know it, and you know it very well. And if you don't know it, then you be a follower. If you know it, then you know it very well. If there's any questions going to be directed to you, you'll be in a position to understand it, because you studied the whole thing. And if you aren't, then you follow. But now, to be coming in between, neither you are an expert, nor are you a follower, obviously it's a very dangerous role. Like a person is not a surgeon, he's not a specialist, and in spite of him not being a specialist, he doesn't want to accept that he's not a specialist, nor does he want to act as a commoner and take the treatment from a specialist, then he's playing a dangerous role, very dangerous role. See? So it's important that we learn hadith, Quran, etc., under the guidance of someone. See? When it's guided, then you don't have a problem. And if it's not guided, then everybody puts his own two pence. And when everybody's going to put his own two pence, obviously it's going to be a big, big confusion, big, big mistake. So the hadith, the Quran, are not toys, are not things for us to experiment with. They are not things to experiment with, and they are not things to be experimenting with. Then this is how we go about, this is a tartib. Right? In the old ages, in the old zamana, the first, second, third century, then the hadith was still being accumulated, the first century, the second century. By the third century, it was accumulated already. And then by the fourth, fifth century, that it was already transmitted, it was recorded, all that, right? So therefore, till about the third century or fourth century, third century, or maybe latest fourth century, then the chain of narrators was required. Because after the fourth century, then after that period, everything was recorded in book. Books were available, and then it was spread around the Islamic world, everywhere. Everybody had all these authentic kitabs, they had it already. Now the chain of narrators was not so important after the fourth century. It wasn't so important. Why? Because everything is preserved. And when I say it wasn't so important, like you get the Quran Sharif, right? So the Quran Sharif was then brought in one book, one kitab, and then it was spread around the Islamic world. Everybody's got the Quran Sharif. Now, when you recite the Quran Sharif, I ask anybody, what was the chain of narrators of your recitation? Can you show me? And do you ask for ijazat? No. You know, I want the ijazat of your sanad of the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Do you ask for that? Whereas, this is wahi, that is wahi. This was transmitted, that was transmitted. Now, what is the big deal about asking the sanad here only? Why is it just confined to this? See, it's a misunderstanding. We don't understand things in context. At least one person is doing it, you know, that everybody, the whole world wants to do it. One person does it, the whole world wants to do it. Now, there's a misunderstanding. It was important, yes, until it wasn't accumulated. It wasn't preserved. It wasn't put together. Everything was assimilated. Now all is collected, preserved, printed, written down, and spread throughout the world. Now if anybody brings and forges anything, he'll be caught out straight. In the Quran, if anybody forges anything, will he be caught or not? Straight away he'll be caught out. Same in the Hadith, if anybody tries to forge anything, he'll be caught out straight away. Straight away, you just try to forge something, and there's so many books available that you will find out the flaw straight away. Right? All these books here say this. This person has brought this additional report here. So this is misleading. It's erroneous. It's misleading. So this is a forgery. Then they will trace the forgery, where the forgery came from. And they'll find it straight away that this is the forgery. Like you'll find even in some of the commentaries of Hadith, right? Commentaries of Hadith, you'll find that someone tried to do some forgery. In Ibn Hajar's work also, some people tried to do some forgery work, right? And later down the generations, they got caught out. Acha, this person, for his own purposes, he added certain things. He added certain things, his own 2 pence, 2 cents he gave, and therefore, here he gets caught out, you see. So now this sanad, etc., is not as important as it used to be then. Then it was important, now it's not so important. Otherwise, I ask you that you recite in Quran Sharif. How many Quran Sharif you read for the month of Ramadan? Someone will say 10, 12, whatever. But then I ask you, which sanad? You based your recitation on which sanad? And your ustad, what was his sanad of the Quran Sharif? And his ustad, what was the his sanad? Now it's not so important. Then it was important. Then what was the sanad? So you know it's absolutely authentic. It's absolutely sound. There is no flaw in the whole thing. At that time it was very important. But now that everything is preserved, now it's not so important. See, understanding things in context and what a difference it makes. But if you didn't understand it in context, then you have to have the heart to go and follow someone who's understood things in context. It makes life much more easy, much more manageable, right? And this applies to everything. Law, right? You take one law, right? One law, Dutch Roman law, whatever law, you take it and you try and understand it in isolation, right? And then according to you understand it, you stand in court, you stand in the box, and then you say this law, South African law, and this is the constitution, and this is what it states, and this is the interpretation and explanation. They will charge you that you are not a professional person. How dare you make your own interpretation of that law? You can't interpret the law. You need to go to a fully fledged cause, understand the whole thing, how it works, how it's interpreted, what the experts had to say about it, and how it was implemented, then you will be accepted. But you go on your own, you can't. So in every field that happens. But unfortunately, when it comes to the Quran and Hadith, everybody feels, I am authority, I am the boss, I can do things, and why isn't it like this? Everybody begins to feel that he is the boss. So then, who's going to be the boss? There'll be only chiefs, no Indians. Yeah? Whereas we all are Indians here. Yeah? Right? When we're all Indians, then we'll need a chief, don't we? See? Because we're all Indians. It's only chiefs. Anyway, this article that was read today is showing the same thing. You know, it's showing the same thing, that how do you design your thinking? Your thinking, your understanding, don't let it be warped. You got your understanding and your thinking and your reasoning right, then your life becomes very understanding. You have a lot of confidence, a lot of strength in what you are doing. Otherwise, you're always in anxiety. Am I doing it right or not? Is my understanding correct or not correct? Or why is it like this? But the Hadith says this. The Quran Sharif says this. So all the time you'll be in that state of perplexity. You will be perplexed all the time. State of perplexity. But the moment you just agree and you just submit and surrender, no, I'm not an expert. When I'm not an expert, then I need to conform with someone. And the experts have said this. And the Quran and the Hadith is commanding us that we listen to the experts. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. That's what I have done to the level what I was supposed to be doing. Beyond that, my obligation cuts off. Yeah, the incident that has been spoken, the first incident, is about some person in Delhi. He had a student, so he worked on the student. He had a murid, so he worked on him. And he taught him, and he taught him, and he... After he found the person to be quite capable, he said, now, you don't do your own thing. Though he went with the student for some time. He said, you don't do your own thing. You travel to Multan and go and spread Islam in Multan. Delhi to Multan should be at least about 400, 500 or 600 kilometers. You go to Multan and you go and spread Islam in Multan. So, en route, he passes one town and there is a jogi there, like we say, people that do yogism. So one who has specialized in yogism, you call him a jogi, right? Or yogi. So he was doing this art of his yogism, he was practicing. And through this practice, he was trying to rob people of the iman. Because yogism, it works with concentration, right? Like how you mesmerize, how you hypnotize. So they work with concentration. So he will rob the person, he will loot the person's iman with his concentration. I will throw my concentration onto you, and then my concentration will prevail over yours. Yours will be subdued, and you will feel suppressed to just accept what I say. So that's an art in itself. How, like I always say, how they hypnotize, how they mesmerize. So that's an art on its own. So anyway, this yogi that was practicing, he perceived this Muslim going past. So he tried to hypnotize him. He tried to do this. But when he tried, he saw, no, this person is too powerful. I can't manage. My art is not working on him. Though I am a very trained person, I am a professional person, but my art is not working on this person. Who is this person? So the curiosity had the better of him. Like you see, the curiosity killed a cat. That's what killed him. So he came off the place that he was sitting and meditating. He came to this person. He asked, who are you? And where are you going to? Where are you off to? Who are you? And where are you off to? So now this person, yeah, he was sent to Multan. So his sheikh and his superior had given him instruction, you go squarely to Multan. You don't go anywhere else. You just go and do tabligh and dawat and go and spread Islam in that corner of the world. Don't go anywhere else. But now, when this person came and he sized him up, so he said, no, no. He changed his intention. So now let me use this person here. So he says, I am Abdul Rahman and I am going to Multan and I say La ilaha illallah. And with what vigor and power he said that La ilaha illallah, That yogi, his mind was totally shattered, broken down. It was so broken down and shattered that yogi, he is going around and he says, bhai, don't go on that road, on that end don't ever go. Because there is one person who says that he's Abdul Rahman, he's going to Multan and he's saying, La ilaha illallah. Now, he made this yogi the means of his invitation. He made him the person for his invite. He's got an invite and he's got a cause, right? And his cause was to go and invite people. So, made him. In between, as a digressor, this is what he says. Previously, the Muslim, how he viewed himself, he viewed himself in this way, that he felt to himself that whatever good I have, whatever potential I have, that potential must be for the sake of deen. Whatever potential I have a memory, then I must use my memory for the deen. If I have might and power, that might and power must be used for deen. I have some smart quality in me, then the smart quality in me must be used for the cause of deen. So a Muslim is to view himself like that previously. That whatever I got, I must use it for the real cause. Eating, drinking, etc., living this life is by the way. But the main cause is Islam. That's the main thing. Like you see, when you sit down to eat at a table, right? Then one is the main cause. And then with the main cause, you have some achars, whatever else. So the achar is just for a little bit of taste. You add a little bit of vinegar or a little bit of achar, whatever, just for taste. That's not the main cause. So similarly, what is the main cause, main theme of your life is deen. By the way, you'll do some achar, you'll do some vinegar, whatever else, you'll take it just to add some flavor. That is by the way. But the main theme of your life is something else. Nonetheless, what happened is when this person had shifted his focus, you see, his focus was to be just Multan, but he shifted. Though his intention was right, his intention wasn't flawed. His intention was Dawat. But the Tabligh Jamaat in Nizamuddin told him, you just go and do this work here. You go and do this work here. You go from Nizamuddin, go to Multan. But in Amritsar now he changes his whole intention. Got jammed up in Amritsar. So Nizamuddin will say, no, you're not listening to our instruction. Though your intentions are right, we're not saying that your intentions are flawed, but our instruction is you go into Multan. Amritsar, we will do something else about it. You just take the instruction from us and you go to Multan. Why did you have to change your intention? See. So the same now, the Sheikh made out that this person's focus has changed. We send him, we had dispatched him to Multan and he's got caught in between. So why did he have to change his intentions? So they felt, they didn't feel good about it. They didn't feel appreciated, you see. The same now, the Sheikh in a Khanqa, he will give you a certain instruction. You need to have a certain focus. That focus has to remain. Then in between, you don't do your own thing. Without his permission, without consulting, don't do your own thing. You don't do your own thing that is going to change the focus. You're going to change the focus now. He's focusing something else and you focusing something else. When your focus is something and his focus is something, your goal is something and his goal is something, then this path here will become very much more complicated. Right? You send your child to the madrasa to come and study, right? Or to a school, university to come and study. So the whole theme was what? The whole theme was to come and study. That must be his focus. Now if this child comes to the madrasa and he says, you know, my parents are a little bit constrained. Let me do some business also. Let me do some business. In the lunch period, and I'll sell some sweets, some toffees, some candies. I will do this. And within the periods also, you know, I'll strike bargains here, there. I'll get some better quality sweets and I'll sell it at a good price. I'll help the home. Will your parents appreciate this? They don't want to appreciate it. Why wouldn't they appreciate it? Your intention, is it flawed? Intention isn't flawed. But why won't they appreciate this? They won't like this. Because your focus is going to move away, is going to shift from studies to business. And that whole year will go and you'll fail. Perhaps you won't get the type of pass and results that you're supposed to be getting. So you just remain focused in the work that they have dedicated. They have assigned you to a certain work and a certain task. You remain assigned and you remain dedicated to that which they have sent you for. Don't then change your focus. Now you keep thinking to yourself, what was the purpose of me coming here? So the more you will focus, the more you will think, the more you will get the concepts, you will get the grasp of the whole thing. But the moment you shift. And how you shift, really, you will shift because of your personal discussions with people. Now you're coming here, then you discuss, he is discussing with him, that person is discussing with the third person with the fourth person. Now they're discussing, amongst themselves they are discussing. And one person's suggestion seems to be more appealing. So when that person's suggestion sounds to be more appealing, then he's buying that suggestion. That person's suggestion seems to be more appealing, so you're buying that suggestion. You had come to the madrasa, for example, to do hifz of the Quran Sharif, right? When you came in then someone told you, hey, you know what? You're doing hifz and all that, rather concentrate on English, you know? Because English is a spoken language. Arabic is not a spoken language. What are you going to do with Arabic? Now that appealed to you, you moved away from the Quran Sharif to English, what's going to happen? Are you going to be staying here, but you're going to be defeating the purpose? Why? Where it started from, you began to discuss within yourselves. Now, you didn't have the type of trust on your senior. The whole thing where it went off is you didn't have that level of trust, the level of confidence in your senior. That's where everything broke. So this is where everything is going wrong, that we don't have that level of trust and confidence in the senior. Then, when we don't have that love, that type of confidence, then we do our own thing. When we do our own thing after 10 years, it's, hey, I missed out, I lost out, I messed up. You know? But that comes only after 10, 15 years. When you already now heavily involved in life, you've got wife and children, now for you to take that up, now it becomes difficult. Now to reverse the whole thing becomes difficult. But when you messed up at that point. So the first point, the first level in this whole exercise is, do you have the level of confidence? If there is a flaw in the confidence, then go and fix it up first. Because based on the confidence, everything will flow. And if the confidence is weak, then you're not going to get as you desire to get. You will get, but you will not get as you would desire. And that is based on the confidence. The greater the confidence, the greater you're going to acquire. And the weaker the confidence, the longer this thing is going to take. The greater confidence is like a car with a sound engine. Sound engine, mobile, moving. It doesn't require any service. In two tours, it will take you to Johannesburg, right? But the confidence isn't there. You got a motor car, no confidence. So the engine is very weak. Every 2 miles you're driving and you need to have some service. That thing is breaking down. Carburetor, something is falling down. Oh, this is falling down. That is falling down. So it will take you 10 months. Still didn't reach Joburg. 10 months. You still didn't. Yeah, in 6 hours, 5 hours, you're gone. Why? That confidence was there. Are you arguing? But I got a motor car. Why can't I reach? I got a car, he's got a car. So you feel, no, I am a person, he's a person, he can reach, why can't I reach? So you see that confidence is broken down. When that confidence is broken down, it's like that engine fell. In this age and time, when I see people, I see there's a lot of potential. Lots of potential. They can progress. They can become the friends of Allah Ta'ala. But what they lack today is confidence. They don't have that level of confidence. And as a result, everything fails, everything falls by the way. Right? And why they break, why the confidence breaks is they discuss within themselves. Either their minds are preconceived, they got some other ideas, came from school, university, whatever else, and they got some other ideas, or they discuss with others, or they listen to other programs, books, magazines, etc. So their whole mind is in a kachumar state. It's pickled up already. It's not straight. It's not straight. And then you don't want to straighten it. One is it's not straight and you want to go and straighten it. It's very easy. But one is it's not straight and you think it's straight. So that's murakkab, jahla murakkab. So that's where people are losing out today. It's jahla murakkab. Outwardly, they may have a lot of book knowledge. A lot of book knowledge. But really, they don't have that straight mind. And when they don't have that disciplined straight mind, then this whole path becomes very, very complicated. See? So anyway, we're talking about this Abdul Rahman, and his sheikh had perceived that this is where he went off. And he also saw within himself, I don't have that same power that I had. You know, before I had a power, I had determination, I had that vigor. Now that vigor, everything is breaking down. So something wrong, somewhere down the road, something has gone off. So he said, rather than me continuing to Multan, let me go back to Delhi to my sheikh. Because I have messed up something here, that I was supposed to go do the dawah there in Multan, and I started off something here. I shifted the whole thing. Anyway, he goes back to the sheikh in Delhi. The sheikh reprimanded him. I had sent you, I had dispatched you to Multan. Who asked you to go and work there? I sent you to Multan. I didn't ask you to work in transit. I didn't ask you to do that. Sheikh kept him back, trained him again, corrected all that mistake, and then he sent him back to Multan. Now he's going in one piece. He's going back to Multan. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, this one single person is responsible for the Hidayat and Islam for approximately 60 to 70,000 people. See, Now that 70, 60,000 people, how many children they will have, their wives, their family, how many people they will influence? If you see now, over it, overall, at least they could have influenced 10 persons, one person, right? One person could have influenced so many people. So about 1 million people must have been all affected to this one person. Now it's an organized thing, it's a thing that's got some system. And the Tabligh Jamaat also got some system. You work according to a system, you leave your brains aside then. Then they got a system. You work according to the system, you will prosper. 6 points, just work on the 6 points. They give one kitab, Fazail Amal, just work on that. Now you say, no, why only Fazail Amal? Why can't we bring to Quran Sharif? Why we can't bring the Hadith? The original thing is the Hadith, the Quran Sharif. So when it's undisciplined, unguided direction you've got. It's a direction that's got no guidance. No guidance. And obviously you've got to do your own thing. When you've got to do your own thing, you can't see the future. You can't see it. You haven't seen the path. These people have seen the whole path. From the Alif to As-Salam, from A to Z, they have seen the whole road. So they're seeing the beginning point, they're seeing the end point. They see the whole thing. And you haven't seen it. When you haven't seen it, it will take you still 10, 20 years before you will see it for yourself. Then you will only come back to the same conclusions. So today what we have discussed by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is we have to see things in context, number one, and explain what is the meaning of context, right? And number two is this whole thing is falling apart. People aren't progressing. The reason why they aren't progressing is they don't have the desired amount of confidence. And then I explain why the confidence is breaking down. One is because of what knowledge they have in the past, right? They got some facts preconceived, or it is what they're discussing within themselves, right? And everybody is giving his 2 pence. Everybody wants to act smart. Everybody wants to show that I'm intelligent. I'm more smarter than this person. So then, you're not here, you're not there. You're not listening to that person, you're not listening to this person. So you're trying to work out something in between. When you're working something out in between, you haven't seen the path, you haven't seen the whole road from the beginning to the finish, you haven't seen it. When you haven't seen it, you will only understand the path after 15, 20 years. And after 20 years when you have realized it, now to reverse the whole situation, correct it, becomes very difficult. Right? Like you became Hafiz and you didn't learn Tajweed, right? So 20 years now, you didn't learn Tajweed. And someone told you, learn Tajweed. And after 20, 25, 30 years now, that system has grown into you. You say, wala dalin, you're just saying, right? Now to bring that thing right again, I can't get it right. Why, for 30 years you've been reading in that way. They told you at that time, just listen to this man here. He said, no, why must I listen? The Quran is there. Hadith is there. Why can't I learn myself? So this man learnt it under professional guidance. Just take it from him. No, I got the Quran. I got the Hadith. I'm understanding. I'm intelligent. Why must I... So when you have this type of an attitude, now you've got 30 years backwards. Now it's very difficult to get that thing right again. So the simple thing is, when you're not that level of expert, you're not a specialist at that level, then follow. And follow with full confidence. In due time, you'll find the understanding. In due time, you'll find the understanding as well. See, you can't be not an expert and not a follower. But do the following rightly, correctly. That person that you are following, he feels happy with you as well. He wants to give you. When he sees this man has got confidence, he's got a respect, he's taking, then he'll feel good for you, he'll feel nice for you. This person is taking. He loves me, he understands me, he's got the confidence. So he'll feel good about you, he'll want to give you. But he says, this man his mind is not right. He's this side, that side, all over the show. So he'll not have that type of respect for you. Like you are proposing for a girl, right? But you, in the presence of the girl, sometimes you're talking about some other girl, right? Right? You got one, Sajida. But hey, you tell Sajida, but Majida is very beautiful, man. You know, she, her hair, one of its kind, man. You know, it's like, it's white like silver, you know. Like that, Now, what this Sajida will say? Hey, this man, he doesn't seem to be right. Will she love you? She won't love you. That's natural, but that's what I'm saying, is all natural, logical, but we don't apply our brains. And why we don't apply our brains? Because we feel we've got brains. So that's Jahla Murakkab. When you don't have brains, you must say you don't have brains. Don't say now, don't pretend to be a person of brains. I don't have the brains. Just take me, please. You hold me. Hold me and take me across. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb Kare.